Pastor Carter, will you come?
Praise God. Praise God. Be seated, please. It's good to see everybody here. Thank God for you. I do with all my heart. Praise God. It is true. I have a million things to do, give or take 100,000. But this is one that is dear to my heart. I've thanked God for you. I thank God for the strength the Lord's going to give you in the days ahead, what it's going to require to face the days that we're living in. The hardest battle that you're ever going to face, there's a lot of things when you come to Bible school, you say, I've got to get rid of this and I've got to get rid of that. And you become aware of some of the kind of add-on things in your life that aren't necessary any longer. But the thing that you'll fight the hardest with and the thing that's most necessary that we trust God for the strength to get rid of is ourselves. Our own ambitions, our own plans, our own desires, our self-image, our view of what we think our life should be. And when we are at the place where God can get a hold of our hearts that way, then he replaces it with a perfect love that casts out fear. Now, that perfect love is really encompassed in the statement that's one of the statements, defining statements of this school, is living for the benefit of others. That's who Christ was. That's what Jesus Christ did. That's why Jesus Christ came. He didn't live for himself at any point in his 33 years. He lived simply for the benefit of others. And because of that, we are here. And now we are called to represent him on this earth. And you can't represent, we can't fully represent someone whose heart we don't yet fully embrace. But God in his mercy gives us the grace to do that. It's a battle you'll always fight all of your life. But God gives the victory to say, Lord, not my will, but thine. Let me live for the benefit of others. That's what the will of God will always be. That's the work of God. It will never be anything else. It will always be concerning people. So I thank God that you're here. And you're going to go through some tough waters. Year one, especially for those who are just in, these are tough times. But you're facing something that you need to face. If you're ever going to be effective in the kingdom of God, it's not just the accumulation of knowledge, as wonderful as that is, but you have to get through that barrier of self. That barrier of this is how I want my life to go. This is what I think it should look like. And these are my dreams and these are my plans and these are my desires. And even if they're good, they're short of the glory of God. And we have to trust him for the strength and the courage to let these things go and to adopt a value system that only God can plant within us. And ultimately, it's the willingness to suffer if necessary for the sake of others. We haven't had to do that in measure. We have internal suffering. But we might be entering a season where suffering is going to become a real part of following Christ in this environment we're now living. And it's the readiness and the willingness to say, Lord, whatever it costs me for the glory of God and for the souls of men, that's where I go. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged by what you face and the struggles you face when you look in the mirror every morning. Coming here thinking you're going to love everybody. Isn't it amazing? I'm just going to expand my borders and win the world, and you can't, and now you've got a roommate, and you're just thinking, God, how am I ever going to get through this? I don't know if anybody's ever been there. I've been there. I know what that's all about. But God will give you the grace and the strength and bless you, and let this be a great year. Let it be the year of answered prayer, where the deepest Christ-like desire of your heart is answered. God bless you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Oh, man. Praise God. I just get excited when I get to Summit. I always do. I can't stop smiling. I'm just always excited. And the presence of the Lord is always here. You know, and for me, I'm always reflecting back on just my years in Bible school when I think about coming up here, and I'm just always reminded of just so many times how I missed out on what just really God wanted to reveal to me at times, because I was so worried about when I was getting out, you know, like at times I was so busy counting down the days that I didn't count in the wonderful times God wanted to spend with me. And so now as I'm older, it's just, I just cherish even me now, not even in Bible school, but the opportunity to be here at Summit, because the presence of the Lord is here, and to be able to step away from just what's normally going on in our lives, and to be able to have this amazing time in the presence of God day in and day out, and being, you know, challenged and encouraged and convicted and pushed on and going through trials. But all the while, it is the will of God that you would be here and that he's doing something awesome in your life. And then just to hear Pastor Teresa share just the theme for this year. I mean, we should have just got up and just started shouting and did a praise song and got back on the instruments. And I mean, do you hear that theme? When our pastor says this is the year of answered prayer, shout somebody. I don't know about you. I need some prayers to be answered. So even though I'm not here on the campus like you every day, I received that for myself. That's exciting news. That's exciting news. Does anybody have any prayers that they're waiting for God to answer? Oh, then you should have been shouting then. You should have been excited. Praise God. And I hope you are. And I hope you really recognize just you're in the right place at the right time. You're in the right place at the right time. This is it. No guessing, no thinking back, no questioning now whether I should have done this or not. You're here. Praise God. Everything else back at home, it's still the same. You're not missing nothing. It's normal. And that's just a short message I just want to share with you this afternoon. Normal is not an option. Turn with me real quick to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, I'm beginning with verse 1. Praise God. If you have it, say amen. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter says to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll go with you. They went out, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, therefore said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Verse 8, the other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, hey, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Praise God. Look to your neighbor real quick and say, normal is not an option. Are you pondering it? Yes, you are. Praise God. Listen. Jesus shows up. This scripture tells us this third time that he reveals himself after he rose again from the grave. And I love this moment with these seven disciples where Peter is in this place where maybe just clearly, and just when you look at the context and the way he makes the statement, there wasn't much going on. And so he just tells the other six, hey, bro, I'm going fishing. And the other group of guys go, yeah, we'll go too. Now, maybe looking at it from a positive perspective, maybe you just didn't want to waste time and have sort of this idle time doing nothing. So maybe in a good sense, there was a right motive, maybe to be productive, maybe to just provide for their families, maybe even anticipating that God was going to show up and commission them. I don't know. But what they went off to do in this time was something that they normally did. Another word for normal is ordinary. To go fishing for Peter and the other disciples was an ordinary day. It's something that they did. But Jesus was going to teach us a lesson and give them a lesson in this moment that would remind them that their lifestyles were to no longer be normal and to no longer be ordinary. And the opposite of normal, the opposite of ordinary is extraordinary, exceptional. So something was about to happen here. And something always happens when you and I are committed to Jesus Christ and when we're walking with him and living for him and we continue to pursue his righteousness, you and I can expect that something exceptional will always happen, will happen with our lives surrendered to Jesus Christ. But here Peter and the disciples go off to go fishing. And scripture tells us that they fish through the night, which means the ordinary thing for them to do as fishermen would be to fish through the night. All night long. And scripture says they caught nothing. Well, for me, that spoke a lot for me just spiritually. For you and I. That oftentimes in our attempt to do things in an ordinary way will oftentimes lead you and I to an empty place. When we attempt to just say, man, I just need a normal moment. A normal moment for you and I outside of Jesus Christ will always leave us empty. I've tried it. I'm so glad I don't live a normal life anymore. It's incredibly boring. It's very empty. I've got friends still where I grew up in Virginia that are living life in a normal way. And every time I'm on the phone with them or have a conversation with them, they've got nothing to tell me. It's empty. They've caught nothing in life. And I've always got a whole lot to say. Because my life has not been normal. It's been me constantly having to trust God. It's me constantly having to get on my knees and to pray. That's not normal living. Normal living is not getting on your knees day in and day out, crying out to God, praying and expecting answered prayers. That's an exceptional life. That's an extraordinary life, believing in a supernatural God to provide everything that you and I need. If you want to live a normal, ordinary life, don't pray. If you want to see some exceptional things happen in your life, pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Never get tired of praying. Get before the Lord and always just be watchful and alert to be able to be ready in season and out of season. Stop any given moment and pray and get in the presence of the Lord. Now again, I go back to say this, that what the disciples may have been doing was something productive so that they wouldn't just be wasting time, maybe meeting the needs of their family. But they were not anticipating something exceptional to happen. And you and I have been called to anticipate something that God will do. So they catch nothing. And here's why I just said what I said. Because Jesus shows up at the shore at sunrise. Children, have you caught anything? And scripture tells us that the disciples didn't recognize Jesus. Children, have you caught anything? No. If they had recognized Jesus, they would have cried out, Master, no, we haven't. Rabbi, teacher, no, it's not happening. Jesus, Savior, resurrected Savior, but it was just a no. I'd like to believe it was a no that was very discontent, irritated, frustrated. No. They did not recognize the presence of Jesus Christ in that moment of irritation, in that moment of discontentment, In that moment where they made an effort to live out life in a normal way, an ordinary way. And oftentimes when we attempt to live a life in an ordinary way, we find ourselves discontent and irritated because it's not working out the way you want it to work out. And then you might come to a place where you don't recognize the presence of God. But oh, the grace and the love of Jesus Christ, who knew exactly how we would respond in our irritation and discontentment, but yet would cry out to us on the shore, children! He calls us his own. In the midst of our own discontentment, in the midst of our own irritation, in the midst of our own efforts trying to live just a normal life, because I don't feel like being bothered right now, just let me just blend in, he would yet still cry out, children! He would cry out in such a way that calls us to victory when we don't feel victorious. Children, you believers, you the saints, you who have been adopted into the kingdom of God, you who I died for, went to the cross, rose again on the third day, and now you reconciled unto the Father through me. I call you children. And yet we would still respond and say, no. And yet even in the no, the grace of Jesus Christ continues on to do a miracle in our lives. Cast your net on the right side. Our irritation, our discontentment, our effort just to have just a normal time. I just need normal right now. Okay. I just relax. Okay. Oh my goodness. If so-and-so comes over to this table one more time and just tries to get us all to pray, I think I'm just going to bug out. Okay. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. We're in the dorm room. Okay. I just want to sit here and just eat my Skittles. If this guy comes in one more time with a Bible verse, I am going to bug out on him. I just need normal. You know, you always have those normal. Just give me normal. Like I had my best friend growing up, we both went to the same Bible school. His name is Scott Crowder, and we both grew up in Virginia. And we were roommates, and I just remember one night, I just wanted to sleep. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, he had a little single bed. He had a single bed. And I remember I was rolled over against the wall and I was restless. It was like 2 a.m. Don't freak out on me. Okay. But I rolled over and he was laying there beside me, staring at me. Now, if you knew Scott, you'd understand this, but I know it sounds crazy. But I'm gonna get to the point. And I rolled, I'm like, and I, of course I leaped out of my skin, right? And almost banged my head against the wall. And then he just kind of rolls on his back and he looks up and he's like, he gets really, really dramatic. And he's like, bro, we gotta go to the chapel and we gotta pray right now, man. He's like, I can't sleep, bro. We gotta go to the chapel, man. I need you to sharpen me, man. Will you go? And I'm like, man, in my mind, if you don't get out my bed right now. And I remember he jumped up and he just started pacing our little room. I mean, we were like a little room, you know, not as nice as your guys. And he was like, we gotta pray, man. We gotta pray right now, man. Right now. And I'm like, bro, it is 2 a.m. in the morning. No, you don't understand. When God prompts me, we gotta go. And I was like, all right, you know, here we are in our PJs going across campus. Don't you dare do that. But, you know. And he comes, and I'll tell you, a lot of it is like similar to here, and he opens the doors, he just sprints right down and just falls right on his knees and just starts crying out to the Lord. And I'm like, kind of like dragging, like, oh my gosh, this is insane. Like really, I have, you know, just kind of going. And I got to tell you, I got down on my knees and I put my head down and I felt the presence of the Lord. There's no right time, no set time to get in the presence of the Lord. All things must be done decently and in order, yes. But I learned something that night. I realized that I was always trying to structure my time in the presence with the Lord as if it was just in a part of my ongoing schedule. I tried to make my experience with Jesus Christ in prayer as just a part of just a timeline or a schedule in my day. Structure's good, but what if God calls me to change my plans to go see a movie and instead just spend that 2 hours in his presence? What if I plan to just go play cards in the lobby or at Roosters and just play some ping pong or some foosball or something, or just go get a snack, and instead the Holy Spirit prompts you, no, I need you to walk out into the field and I need you to seek my face. I need you to change your schedule up. This journey is not going to be just a normal routine. It's going to be exceptional. It's going to be extraordinary. And I know you might be irritated. I know you might be discontent. But I want to do miracles in your life. And your no won't prevent me from pursuing you. That's the word of the Lord. And so he says, cast your nets on the right side, right? Cast your nets on the right side and praise God. I mean, even in the midst of their discontentment and irritation, they still don't know who that is on the shore. But they're probably just this place, you know, we've done this all night. Why not? Who knows? Let's just go ahead and cast our nets. And then scripture tells us that the nets were full. 153 fish, big fish, heavy fish. And then John, recognizing the miracle, tells Peter, we heard it just a little earlier, living for the benefit of others. He tells Peter, it's the Lord, bro. And John, you know, he could have kept that for himself, right? Because he was the one that was loved. I mean, can you imagine? He's all through scripture, he's described as the one that Jesus loved him. Like some of you getting jealous already, right? You know. But living for the benefit of others, he leans over to Peter and tells him, because nobody could touch the zeal of Peter. I mean, you want to talk about someone who was zealous. I mean, I really think John knew that he was just going to dive in. That's awesome. He tells Peter, it's the Lord. He's like scrambling like I'm practically naked, man. Oh, my goodness. He grabs his coat and throws his coat on because when he took that coat off, he was dressed for work to just go fishing. And at that moment, he realized I cannot approach Jesus the way I would normally have done right now in my day, which was just to work. I've got to put this cloak on. I'm actually doing the wrong line of work. Let me just, yeah. And he dives in. He doesn't try to walk on water, but there's such a desperation to get to Jesus in this moment. The revelation comes to him. It's like, I just got to go. I'm not going to worry about the waves. I'm not, probably about 100 feet away. Who knows? Maybe it wasn't even that deep. But I'm going to tell you something. Is there somebody in here who's desperate to run to Jesus Christ and say, my life is not a normal life. My life is called to an exceptional life, chasing after the will of Jesus Christ. Chasing after his purposes cannot be ordinary. I just got to get to Jesus. And when you get to Jesus and when you get to the shore, nobody is cool as Jesus Christ. He's already working up some fish. Breakfast is already laid out. He welcomes us to the breakfast table. He welcomes us to dine with him. He desires that you and I would know that his mercy is new every morning. You know that passage of scripture, weeping may endure for a night. Discontentment may endure for a night. I'm going to keep adding to it. Irritation might endure for a night. Doubt might endure for a night. Fighting, restless, lonely, discouraged, it might endure for a night. But meet Jesus at the breakfast table in the morning. Pastor Teresa said it earlier. Don't miss the opportunity in the morning to recognize and experience his wonderful mercy. Discipline yourself while you're here to get up early and to pray. You might not even know what to say. You might not even feel like you recognize his presence. Your body might be waking up in the morning going, no, 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 just like the disciples. But Jesus still wants to pour out miracles in your life. He still wants to demonstrate his grace and his love. Jesus will never hear your response as a no like the disciples and turn and walk away. He is forever standing at the shores of our life while we're rocking around in the boat, seasick, frustrated and discontent. Always at the shores of our life waiting for you and I to have sweet communion with him. Never in the need of what we would catch because he's already laid the table before you. It's such a wonderful honor that you and I could grow in the Lord, study the word and be fishers of men and go forward. But he really doesn't need us. He really doesn't. It's just simply out of his grace that he calls us unto himself, that in the joy of knowing who Jesus is, in our pursuit for him, we have such a growing desire to bear witness to who Jesus is that we would go out, cast our nets on the right side, and haul in a great number of fish. But when you show up to the communion table and you show up before the Lord in your time of prayer and you get before him in the morning, know this, he's not waiting for you to come and tell him how many fish you've caught for the day. It doesn't matter to him if you caught 153 because the very fact that you've caught that many has everything to do with what he has done in your life. You've got nothing to prove. So when you come into the presence of the Lord, the fish is already being roasted, baked, fried. I don't know how he was doing it, but that tilapia was banging. And come, have fellowship with me. Sit with me. Go get the fish that you caught. Remember, the disciples were having a hard time getting that in, right? So how in the world do you think Peter hauled all that fish in? The disciples were having a hard time getting that fish in. Yet Peter hauls it all in. Now, I'd like to believe that there was a supernatural moment there. And the zeal of the Lord and the excitement of the Lord that God just gave him the strength to bring it all in. Why? Because he met Jesus at the shore. And when you meet Jesus at the shore of your life, he does a transformative work that is absolutely exceptional. Something that is not in the natural, but in the supernatural. Normal is not an option. I want to meet Jesus at the shore. I want to know his ways. I want to know his will. I want to know his purposes for my life. I don't want ordinary. I want extraordinary in my life. Let me tell you something. I don't want to just go about my days. And I'm not saying for you not to take jobs when you get out of here that are just regular career jobs. If you're going to be a doctor one day, it's going to be an exceptional doctor who hears the voice of the Lord. If you're going to be a police officer, you're going to be an extraordinary police officer who knows how to pray for those who he helps, those who he arrests, those who he's working with. You will be an extraordinary person. No matter what you've been called to do. But it's not normal. Normal is not an option. And you've got to settle that in your heart. You've got to believe that. You've got to receive that. That I want to walk with Jesus Christ. And anything that I do in Jesus Christ, it's exceptional. And anything with God, it's extraordinary. And God, help me. Help me not to sit in my own boat in my life. Frustrated, discontent, not pleased with the way it's working out. Some of us, we get to Summit and you're not pleased with the way it's working out. You're counting down the days for when you'll get out. Rather than take time and count up how many times you can be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Normal is not an option. We can't do it in our own strength. We can't walk this walk in our own strength. Normal is not an option. I'm going to learn how to pray every day. I'm going to learn how to open up my word every day. Normal is not an option. I'm going to be dependent on miracles in my life. Normal is not an option. I'm going to trust that in my lowest point, God's going to bring healing to my heart. Normal is not an option. Coming here to Summit is not normal. But normal is not an option. You've come here because you said, Lord, I embrace the exceptional, extraordinary life that I'll find in you. Normal is not an option. You wouldn't be here if you wanted normal. If you wanted normal, you'd be working somewhere, or you'd be at another college somewhere, or you'd be back at home still active in your local church. But you've decided to do something that's not normal. And the result of doing that which is not normal is always exceptional in Jesus Christ. I'll close with this, and then we're going to pray. When I look at Pastor Carter and Pastor Teresa, I recognize two fearless leaders that I will follow all the days of my life, unless the Holy Spirit speaks to Pastor Carter and says, time for you to move on, Dave. These two have decided that normal is not an option. The life of service that Pastor Teresa lives here at Summit, leading you, and the life of service that Pastor Carter has at Times Square Church, leading us, and them constantly commuting back and forth to be with one another, that's not normal. And they've decided, as our leaders, that normal is not an option. And they've cast their net on the right side so that we would reap from them an exceptional life dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm grateful for their example. They've laid down their lives. And the reward is so beautiful. You've touched my life. You've touched theirs. Hundreds and thousands more, of course. Normal is not an option. You just want to get along, right, with your roommate. Roommate's frustrating you. Running into problems, which is your studies, your tests. If anything worked out exactly the way you wanted it to work out, that would be normal. But every trial and every hardship and every moment that you're being stretched is calling you into an exceptional life in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. It's the year of answered prayer. Let's pray. And I want to encourage you, let's come to the altar. Let's come to the altar. Let's get out of our boat. Let's dive in. Let's get to the shore with Jesus Christ. Let's just ask the Lord, God, forgive us. Forgive us for wanting things to work out the way we want it to work out. Forgive us, God. We don't want to miss your presence. We don't want to miss your presence. Forgive us, God, because we constantly say no to you. No, no. Haven't caught nothing. No, it's not working out. No, I'm irritated. No, I'm discontent. No, I'm unhappy. And this afternoon, the Lord would say to you, cast your net on the right side. Your no is not going to scare me away. I'm still standing here and I still got a miracle for you. I've got a purpose for you, and it's exceptional. It's extraordinary. Despite the fact you've tried to do this in a normal way, this is going to be an exceptional experience for you this year. It's going to be answered prayer. Hallelujah. It's going to be answered prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We humble ourselves before you. We say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for meeting us on the shore. Thank you, God, for preparing the table that we might be in communion with you. Thank you for inviting us to your table. Thank you, God, for your nourishment, your sweet fellowship. Thank you, Lord, that your mercy is new every morning. God, forgive us for trying to do things in such an ordinary, just normal way. When you've called us to live our lives dependent on you, a supernatural experience, an exceptional experience. You're a great God full of power and life. You're full of love and you're full of mercy. So God, we surrender to you. We die to ourselves. May it truly be no longer anything in us that lives, but all of you that lives inside of us. Your spirit, your power. We want to be complete dependence on you, oh God. On you. Hallelujah.
You know why Peter laid down normal? Because when he jumped out of that boat head first into grace, Jesus Christ wasn't a dead man to him anymore. Because Jesus Christ wasn't a dead man to him anymore. And I just want to say that there's some people, and all you have to do is just, I just want to pray for you because God's answering prayer in this place. There's just a few maybe here that can say, look, I feel like my nose is pressed to a glass and I'm on the outside looking into what God is doing and he's moving. I can't concentrate in the classes. I'm not hear what's being said. I feel disengaged. I feel like everybody else is getting something and I feel removed right now. And the Lord said, I understand that, but I'm going to answer prayer today. You're going to dive in head first and Jesus Christ is not going to be a dead man to you anymore. He's alive. He's alive and it's supernatural. I just, right now, you don't have any fear, have no fear of what people think. Who cares what people think? I want you to slip your hand up just right now. That's me. I'm on the outside looking in and I'm not hearing, I'm not entering in yet. But today, God's answering prayer. Just, that's me. That's me. I'm outside of it right now. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you for those that have raised their hand. And I thank you, Lord. By the power of the Spirit, I ask you to answer this prayer. I ask you for everyone who had the courage to say, normal wants to overtake me and the life I've planned for myself wants to be there. But I'm raising my hand and I thank you, Lord. I want in. I'm diving into that sea of grace. And Jesus, you're not just going to be a dead man to me anymore. But I see you alive and calling me into a life I don't understand. But I just throw it off and I dive into the grace because you're showing up for me. I thought you were dead and you felt dead to me, but I see that you're alive. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, you would shatter, oh God, that barrier. You would break through, oh God. Let the confusion end in Jesus' name. We take authority over what the fear is. We take authority of what the resistance is. We take authority of what blocks and hinders by the enemy in Jesus' name. And I thank you this day of answered prayer. You're going to put them on their feet, oh God, alive in their spirit. You are no longer a dead Jesus to them. You are alive. And I just thank you, Lord, for the freedom to say, that's me. It changes today because you're hearing this prayer. I pray, oh God, that, Lord, I thank you. Even early in this school year, you are showing up. You are showing up in a profound way. Now, Lord, give us the grace to show up. In the prayer closet. Give us the grace to show up, oh God. Tell the flesh, no, I am meeting with my God because I'm called to live an extraordinary life. And I'm going to lay down the natural. Thank you, Jesus. We give you so little, but you're going to do so amazing with our little. We come so flawed. We come so weak. We come times we're so upset even with ourselves. But Lord, You're not put away by our irritation. You're not put off by our irritation sometimes and our stubbornness, but you keep showing up for us. Now I pray, oh God, you would give strength. You would give conviction. You would give the power to rise in the morning, oh God, and meet with you because we need to hear from you first. You will minister to our spirit. You will cause us to come alive. Lord, we thank you that you're going to do this for us because this is the year of answered prayer. This is the year of answered prayer. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to help us. We're going to get to bed in time at night. We're going to do what we need to do. And most mornings we're going to show up. Most mornings we're going to have the privilege of you overshadowing our spirit and of you telling us things we couldn't hear any other place. And Lord, I just thank you now we're going to help one another. And I thank you there's no pride in this. This is not a contest. This is not like keeping the books of automated prayer. This is being drawn to the place where you are. And I thank you, Lord, we just thank God we're releasing normal, whatever that is anyway. We're called to be so completely different. And I thank you our identity is going to be shaped by saying I'm different. I'm not normal in Jesus' name. I'm going to live an extraordinary life because I'm going to pray. I'm going to have an extraordinary life because I'm going to be a person who prays. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing today. I thank you for this word, oh God. I thank you for this word. Power in this word. The Holy Spirit was in this word. The Holy Spirit was finding us and opening the door. And Lord, we're just by the Spirit, step in. And I thank you for you've brought us here to change us. You've brought us here to do something extraordinary that won't be taken from us. I thank you the students that came here had no idea in some ways what they were saying yes to. But Lord, you are there waiting and you're going to show it to them. They're going to have extraordinary lives. They won't be shaken no matter how dark the day. They are going to be full of courage. They're going to be full of your Spirit. They're going to be full of you, Jesus. And they're going to be unshakable. They're not going to bow to fear. They're not going to bow to the music of the day. But they're going to have life and have it abundantly. And there's going to be so many people that are going to flock to them and say, what is this life you have? What is it you have? I need it. I need it. And compassion will flow through them because they'll remember what it was to be dead. They'll remember what it was to be disconnected and in perpetual pain. Thank you, oh God. Thank you for what you're doing. You're putting an army on its feet this year by the power of prayer and the power of your Spirit. So thank you for destroying normal early on. Thank you. Thank you for being long-suffering and waiting on the shore for us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Give us the grace to show up, Lord. And we will not be disappointed. I'm just so glad normal's been done with. It's not normal to be young and learn what a prayer life is, but we're not normal. It's not normal to be able to cast our care on Him and really receive help, but we're not going to be normal. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of failure. That's not normal either. Everybody's afraid of failure. Don't be afraid of failure. God's going to draw you to a place. It's going to be like you're going to become addicted to His presence. This is a good thing. Don't feel condemned. And don't, if there's mornings that you have to sleep, you can do that. But be more there than you're not, you know? And don't be defeated in this. And He will give you an appetite to be able to seek His face. Don't be afraid. This is an awesome thing. And this is a really good day. This is a really good day. It's a day of liberty. This is a good day. Please be expect to be astounded by Jesus Christ. Going to be so amazed what He has for you, the healing He has. A student was sharing with me the other day, he was in chapel and God came down in chapel and met him and healed him from questions that he'd had for years and healed him from his past in His presence. You know, he's walking as a different man on this campus. This is what God is here. This is what happens. This is the new normal. Although maybe we're agreeing to not like the word normal. I never liked normal and I never liked the word nice. I don't know. Just didn't like either of them. Have a wonderful day. And be very confident you are loved. And the power of Christ lives in you because you're saved and the Holy Ghost lives in you. You'll see. He'll let Him rise. Let Him rise. It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. I'm so excited what the Lord's doing this year. I'm so glad to be with you in this year. Father, we just thank you. We give you the glory for a living word. I ask you to bless Pastor David. I ask you to bless his family. I ask you to bless his finances. I ask you to bless all things that are near and dear to him. Make him even more a man of faith as he speaks, Lord, to his generation and to the young generation. He would be a burning with faith, oh God, burning and alive with what is possible, that through his fire, many, many, many are lighted. Bless him, anoint him, use him, expand his borders, give him vision, envision him, oh, how to reach his generation. And Lord, let us learn from this fire. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Carter. We bless you and thank you for him. Thank you for a man who walks the walk. Thank you for a man who lives the reality of Christ, who is led by the Spirit, Lord. And I thank you that he's an example of people who walk by the Spirit, and the powers of darkness are being moved because one man is saying yes. I thank you for this. Now, I thank you for the hope and the promise in this room. I thank you for what you have for every individual life. Lord, I thank you. You're destroying our normal, and you are giving us the possibility of a life so rich in you, we can't even begin to imagine or think it. Thank you. You want to draw close to us and walk with us. Thank you. You want to transform us. Thank you. You want to be so real to us. Thank you that we know you answer prayer. We see you answer prayer. We have answers to prayer. Thank you, Lord. We're going to be led to pray prayers we can't even think or imagine so that you could answer them, oh God. I just thank you for what you're doing. I just give you the glory for what you're doing. Bless this student body. Help them now in their relationships. Help them in their thought life. Help them in their academic life. Help them in their social life. Help them, oh God, to be on fire for you, Lord Jesus, to seek you and your kingdom first, and all these things will be added unto them. Let them to be able to set aside things that want to distract them and claim their first and strongest attentions, and help them, Lord, to know it is possible to put you first and highest. And Lord, in that breakthrough, oh God, you promise it to them soon and very soon. I just thank you. You're so good and you love us so much. Thank you. You're so real. You destroy normal. And we just give you the praise. Lord, I ask for the same blessing on this staff. Give them, oh God, a supernatural endowment, oh God, of communication and to be able to transmit these truths, because their lives, Lord, know the reality and the beauty of it. And I just thank you for that blessing upon all. Thank you for blessing Summit with your presence. We're grateful and we're changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.